Welcome to Tech Talk, y'all.
Hello and welcome to Tech Talk, y'all. This is episode 326. I'm Sanjay Parekh.
And I'm Adam Walker, and Sanjay is already stumbling over his words. It's going to be a great episode. This is
episode.
You almost
said
season. You almost went for the season. That's your problem.
I did,
you were like out of habit, but that's okay. We're just on episodes now. We just gave up on the season.
We're all the seasons.
This is season 5,492, and that's what we're doing. So we got a good episode. We don't have as many articles, and every time I say that, I say it's going to be a short episode, and it never is, so we'll see what happens. But we do have some good tech ricks for you at the end. Mine is pet-related, so if you have a dog, you're going to want to check out that tech rick at the end. So anyway, let's jump right in. You ready?
Yeah, let's do this. So first up, Apple is in talks to let Google Gemini power iPhone AI features. That's interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, it's funny because in some areas they don't like each other, and then in some other areas they love each other.
But I feel like that's the nature of like big business. It's kind of like a giant, like two giant families. Like the families might be adversarial, but there's always going to be a Romeo and Juliet, like, you know, running off.
They're frenemies, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I think so. Right. Yeah. They're Romeo and Juliet. I'm not sure which is which yet, but, you know, I'm working on figuring that out. But
wait a minute. Does that mean one of them dies and then the other one commits suicide?
Yes, for sure. Yeah. I think it's actually Google that's in the act of suicide right now by closing down all the things that we love. I think that's really what's happening.
They've been in that act for 20 years.
They've been progressively spiraling down that drain. But no, I mean, like, this is interesting because I expect that Apple is going to continue working on its AI, but it is, I think, tragically behind, and everyone recognizes that. And this is a way to sort of catch up. I am curious why they aren't going after OpenAI instead. And I think I read some other articles that said they're like talking to them too, maybe?
Yeah, exactly. I think they're talking to all of them.
Yeah.
But what's interesting is, I don't know if we talked about this, but they apparently have shut down their electric car division.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, and they moved. I didn't see that. Interesting.
And they moved all of those people over into the AI development situation.
Yeah.
Because they're like, well, this is more near term or impactful than electric vehicles.
For sure.
So there will not be an Apple car.
Okay.
But maybe this is a stopgap until they can have their own AI thing.
Yeah.
Although, you know, they partnered with Google for so long for search.
For search, yeah.
Because they don't have a search engine.
And they don't want to build search. And they don't want to go through that process. And maybe this becomes the same thing. Like, Google's got the stuff. They'll provide the goods, you know. Apple will just,
or maybe they're viewing it as AI is the thing that supplants search. We missed the boat on search.
Yeah.
And now maybe we can catch the boat on this one.
That's true. Speaking of catching the boat, Mr. Beast strikes Amazon deal for biggest competition series in TV history. So if you don't know, I mean, if you don't know Mr. Beast, like, I don't know where you've been, but he does these like wild videos, like giving away tons of money and like all kinds of crazy stuff. And he is the most, he's made the most money as a content creator of anyone, I think by double. Like, I want to say hundreds of millions of dollars. He's doing fantastic. And this is the first time that a content creator at the caliber of Mr. Beast is contracted with a major, like a major studio, I guess in this case, really, to create something that's more of a TV series. And so it's using the lessons from viral video creation to create a TV series, which I expect will be significantly better quality than most other TV series out there, just because I think he's really, really good at what he does.
Yeah, you know, the bone I have to pick about him, I mean, look, don't get me wrong, I think he
does. The beard. You don't like the beard.
I have to hang out with so many people with beards, and I'm over it.
Enough. That's enough of the
enough
beards,
with
man.
The beards. Yeah. Like, what are you trying to hide
behind
in your face behind that hair? Yeah. No, but the issue I have is that he talks about how he basically takes no money and reinvests all this into the company and da 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 da. In this article, they talk about how they built a $10 million studio in North Carolina to do these videos. That's an asset. That's a huge asset that you own.
Right.
And so whenever you're done with it, that's an asset you can sell and make money off of it. So it's not like you're poor. Like,
I don't think he claims to be
like
poor.
A regular
I think,
person.
I think what he's trying to say when he says things like that is, he's not living it up like the Kardashians and driving Lamborghinis. I think that's really what he's getting.
I mean, I see that and I appreciate that. And I think that's very respectful. And I think it's a wise decision too.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there was a story from the .com days, David Filo, who was one of the two co-founders of Yahoo.
Okay.
After they went public, he was a, if not a billionaire, he was pretty dang close. I'm pretty sure he was a billionaire.
Yeah.
He continued working at Yahoo, continued driving like his Toyota Corolla, whatever. Like the money didn't do anything.
That's it, man. That's
in terms of what he was doing. And
I
appreciate that.
I think the internet, like I saw a big thing about Drew Barrymore, same thing. She's like, she did some video of the inside of her house. And she has this like very, like actually smaller than average television on the wall and like this very average size kitchen with like average stuff in it. And I mean, she makes, I mean, and she's got, I don't know if you realize or not, but she's got this huge line of like houseware products that's killing it. And she's making a ton of money, not just from her talk show, but from that. And like, she's living a pretty chill life, which I think the internet loves.
You know? I'm sure she's still getting royalties on ET too.
Oh, there's no doubt.
She's great at that.
There's no doubt. Yeah.
Next up, somebody who's not getting to get royalties. Dell says remote employees won't be eligible for promotions. Mwah, mwah.
I mean,
and this is after Michael Dell was like, in-office work is torture. Don't do it. Remote work's the way. And now it's like, but you can't get promoted.
Yeah, I saw something else.
Which one is it?
Maybe it was in this article or another one, but it basically said like, Dell's just codifying what's already happening because most promotions happen for people that are in office anyway.
Yeah.
And so on that side, I'm like, okay, well, I get that. On the other side, like this feels very hypocritical, backward thinking. It kind of feels very like, I think to me, like the arguments of like we're in office, we're not, it feels very anti-family, anti-parent to me is what it feels like. And because I feel like remote work, hybrid work gives so much flexibility to families. I mean, like mine, like for example, where, you know, I've got to be home to get my kid off the bus at 3 p.m. And so there's, you know, if I had a role where it was hybrid, I could be in the office some, but I couldn't be in there constantly. Right. And so I think like it gives that opportunity. Whereas when they're trying to do this hardcore back in office thing, it really begins to take away from that. And I think other things as well. So I really hate this move. I really do.
Yeah. I mean, I see some of it. I think the line of like, hey, you're not eligible for promotions if you don't come in. I think that's a little bit too harsh.
Well, and it penalizes people that perform well. Like what if you're an amazing leader and performer, but you just don't go to the office? Like you're gonna penalize that person? That doesn't make any sense at all.
That doesn't make any sense. I think more it needs to be like, hey, we need to figure out a way how to make sure that the playing field is level if you're in office versus not in office.
Yeah, that's right.
And, you know, I think one of the things, and I've seen this before in places, and I think, you know, the kids have talked about it too, when they have classes that are online, like a lot of people will not have their cameras on.
Yeah.
Like, look, especially if you're a new employee, if you're a young employee.
Camera on, man.
Even if you have nothing to contribute, you should have your camera on so people can recognize you and see you.
That's right.
Because, I mean, they just don't have a sense of you. And that facial expression, because you're not in person, I think that's so important. So
yeah, it really helps.
Yeah.
All right. Speaking of things that are important, Coca-Cola unveils all new bottles. Sort of. Basically, it's saying that their bottles are going to be made from 100% recycled plastic. And I actually bought a Coca-Cola bottle like 2 days ago that was from 100% recycled plastic. And I looked at it and I looked at the label and I was like, oh, I like this. This is good.
Except the label and the cap are not recycled. Those are new plastics.
But the bottle itself is, I feel a little better about it.
I mean, the vast majority of it is. And I think in the article, they said something like, I don't know, it was like 89 gajillion bottles now are not going to be created and sent to the landfill or something like that. Right. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a technical term, 89 gabajillion.
I mean, that's a term that I regularly use on a basically daily basis.
Yeah.
So I appreciate you using that.
The lottery right now is up to like almost one or two mega gabajillion. So, you know,
it's like you added in extra syllables that time just for fun.
Yeah, I did. I did because I forgot how I pronounced it the first time.
Yeah, that's okay. I'll let it slide.
Yeah. Fine. Somebody else that's forgetting how to pronounce things like privacy, users ditch glass door. Stunned by sight, adding real names without consent.
Yeah.
Whoopsies.
I'll say this like about glass doors. So like
So in case our listeners don't know what Glassdoor is, because maybe you don't work in a place where Glassdoor is a thing,
right?
But Glassdoor is a site where employees can go on and anonymously rate and rank their employers and say the pros and cons.
Right.
Now go ahead.
So, I mean, here's the thing about Glassdoor. It's that you have to be at a pretty large company for them to not know who you are when you leave a review. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like I would think you'd have to be at a company in the thousands for them not to pretty quickly know exactly who you are. And so like anytime I've left something on Glassdoor, I haven't really expected much privacy because I've sort of like, I've been at smaller agencies and firms and companies. I'm like, they're certainly less than several thousand. And like, oh, okay, they're gonna know for sure that it was me, which is fine because I'm usually leaving positive reviews because I don't really have time to leave negative reviews, not really in my nature. So that's fine. But I think, I have read a lot of reviews that are not very positive in nature, and I would think, and they're not like bashing, but they're like, this, here are some problems in this organization, and like that could be a career limiting move if those names get exposed, because then there could be leaders at the previous organization that sort of, you know, have some retribution, have some friends at the new place the person's at. I mean, like there's lots of problems with this. It's kind of scary to me.
Yeah. I have left zero reviews in my life on Glassdoor. I don't think it wasn't a thing when I had my first job.
Right.
And then after that, it's been basically my own companies and startups. So I'd be reporting on myself like, hey, the boss is great.
The boss is great today, but yesterday he was a real. Okay. But here's the question, right? Have you left other reviews, and what are the nature of those reviews that you left?
I have left positive and negative reviews. I've done that on Yelp before.
Okay. Yeah. You're a Yelper. Got it.
Yeah. Every now and again, I've got to be really moved to do a review on either end of it. If I've got a middle of the ground experience, I generally don't leave a review.
Right. You either hate them and you're going to like bring down fire on them, or you love them and you're going to like, you know, try to get them some business. Right.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. It's one of the two. For me. So I've done it there. I don't know how many other places. Like, I've not really left Amazon reviews for products.
I've left one or two Amazon reviews for products that I really, really like. But very, very few for products that I don't like. Like, I tend to lean, like, if I love something, I'll probably do a positive review. And like it's like an 80-20. Like 20% might be negative. I got time for that, you know?
Yeah. So, I mean, in theory, I see it sometimes that it probably would make sense to leave Amazon reviews, because I think if you leave enough of them, then they start sending you free products to review.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And I've seen that in there.
You'd have to do a lot, man.
I feel like that hill is so high to climb it's just not worth it.
Tens of thousands. So this conversation does remind me of a Connor Price lyric. So you and I both love Connor Price, and it reminds me of
who's coming to Atlanta, by the way.
He is coming to Atlanta at Center Stage, and he's already sold out. But he's one of his lyrics says, I don't know anyone who's winning that's taken the time to leave negative comments. And I'm like, ooh, that's a really good. I mean, he's talking about social and people trashing each other on social.
Yeah.
Like, that's a really good statement. So I kind of try to think about that a lot.
Which, by the way, a little side note, I just lived through that because a blog post that I did this last weekend was posted onto Hacker News. I posted on Hacker News.
Yeah.
And it got onto the front page, and then the haters came out telling me, oh man,
what?
Telling me I didn't invent the thing I invented, that it shouldn't have been patented, like all kinds of things. I'm like, I think your problem was the patent is with the patent office, not with me. I think you can go talk to them.
Right. Yeah.
People were complaining to me about how bad the website is of the company that I started back.
That you're like, not, that you haven't been at in like forever.
Yeah. I haven't been there since 2005.
Right.
And I was never responsible for the website. We had an agency that built the website. Like, I'm sorry that it's bad. I didn't do that.
That's crazy. You got all that negative comments.
It was, I mean, there were a few good ones. There was one person was like, hey, it's great to hear this backstory because I used your product.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's awesome. Like, that makes you feel really good. But
there
were a bunch of people like debating how, oh, this stuff was there before and you just figured out a way to monetize it. I'm like, this is 25 years ago. You weren't there. There wasn't anything there.
In fact, like probably the people saying that might've been like, what, like 4 years old at the time. Like, you know,
that's honestly what I was wondering. How many of you were alive when this happened?
Because as a 4 year old. Yeah. How much authority did you really have? So,
right. Yeah. Exactly. Talking about somebody who's not 4 years old, that's probably closer to 20 years old. Reddit prices its IPO at $34 per share in the first major social media offering since 2019, which was Pinterest.
Yeah.
By the way, this is going public today, the day we record this. So they priced last night. It'll go on the markets today. So the big question is, first of all, did you get any shares? Because if you're a Redditor, you might have gotten some shares. I didn't either.
No.
You're shaking your head. No. Are you going to buy any shares?
I think it's going to go down. So I don't think so.
I think it's going to go down.
Yeah, I don't think that for any particular reason. I just think social media in general is volatile, and I think there's not as much appetite for tech stocks and social media stocks in particular. Though I don't know that I really directly consider Reddit social media per se. I think it's Reddit is let me back up. So Facebook's easy. Everybody in the market understands Facebook. Twitter's easy. Everybody in the market understands Twitter. LinkedIn's easy. Pinterest, a little less easy, but I think most of the market gets Pinterest. Reddit is much more niche. I search it. I understand it conceptually. I almost never use it as contribute as an actual user. And I don't think the market at large really gets it. And so, because of that, unless they really price the shares well, I'll be surprised if it goes up. I hope I'm wrong. I would love to be wrong. And I'm not a financial analyst, so don't take my advice at all in any way whatsoever. That's just my own personal gut.
You know, and the problem is if it does go up, what that means is they mispriced it and they left money on the table.
That's right.
And other people, investors, got that money instead of the company getting the money.
Right.
If it goes down, then they also mispriced it.
Yep.
People overpaid in the public offering.
The market's open right now. Is it up or down?
I went to go look.
As we're recording.
It's not yet hit the markets yet because, it just depends on what time. I don't know how things work. I've never really looked into understanding how that is decided when those things happen.
But gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not there yet.
Got it. Okay. Well,
we'll talk about it next week.
Yeah. We'll see what happens.
And we'll see what happens.
And last up before weird and wacky, Biden announces $8.5 billion microchip grant to Intel as he sells economic wins to Arizona amid climate worries. So, this is the biggest grant given for chip making ever.
And there's a $10 billion loan on top of that.
Okay. Maybe I'm just dumb. Okay. But like Intel's straight killing it right now. Like they're printing money because of AI. Why exactly is the government giving them money when they're already just like basically printing it themselves?
Because it would be cheaper for them to build these fabs in other locations outside of the country instead of here.
To keep them in the U.S. So it's like, hey, we're going to give you some money to bring your cost down so you can keep it in the U.S. We can employ U.S. people, that kind of thing.
And more importantly, I think, the thing that we just went through during the pandemic where we had this chip shortage because we had no production here and we were stuck.
We couldn't control
things
it.
Were not, and so a lot of things didn't get manufactured that needed to get manufactured. And then we had shortages. And so there was this whole cascading effect that ended up happening. Now, if you manufacture the chips here,
then we control it.
The easiest place to use them is right here. You don't ship them anywhere. You just use them right where you grew them. And you do actually grow chips, right? Because they're grown on silicon wafers.
Grow the chip?
I mean, you do. I mean, well, you grow the silicon wafers.
Okay.
But then you imprint the chips on there.
What I'm hearing you say is that the chips are like plants, like they're like little.
They're alive, and they're gonna come and kill you. But just so you know, Intel is spending a total of about $100 billion.
Okay, so this is a drop in the bucket.
So the $8.5 billion or whatever it is, and then $10 billion loans. It's a small portion. I mean, it's about 20%, but they're spending a lot of their own cash.
So it's kind of like an SBA loan. They had like the government's putting up 20%. They're like, all right, we'll give you the other 80, I guess. Like it's sort of like that. Okay,
right, exactly. There you go.
Time for the Weird and Wacky segment. abominable snowman.
He's not an axe murderer.
One of the TAs turned out to be a bot. First up on Weird and Wacky, Google used AI to accurately predict floods up to 7 days in advance. Okay.
How cool is that?
That's like cool,
they,
I guess.
Like they put a ton of stuff into the data model, like historical trends, elevation, like all kinds of different like factors in. And I mean, to be able to predict floods that far in advance, I mean, it could really make a huge impact on a lot of economies that sort of rely on, you know, in floodplains. So I thought it was pretty neat.
Yeah. So can they not like predict this like more than that? Because really the end all to this would be like, hey, in about, or just based on the design of how you've got all this stuff working.
Right.
This is not good. And this is the things you need to fix so that there is not flooding. Right.
Like, well, I mean, it's
sewers
the
flood, and drains.
It's but it's the floodplains for rivers is what this is talking about.
Oh, this is the floodplain for rivers.
Yeah. This isn't talking about like flooding of cities. This is like understanding when the river is going to flood and how that's going to affect the surrounding area and agriculture.
Oh, I got it.
Kind of stuff. Yeah. So it's not about the other stuff. Yeah. Okay. You're thinking more like city infrastructure. And to your point,
how do you keep my house dry is what I'm worried about.
Yeah, I don't think this is for that. I think the answer to that question is don't live inside of a river. I think that's pretty much what that boils down to. So.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right. I think they mentioned that when I bought my house.
Yeah. Last up in Weird and Wacky, Monopoly Go spent more on marketing than Sony spent to make Spider-Man 2. Now, I think this title might be misleading because it says to make Spider-Man 2, but then later in the article, it talks about Sony promoting the game Spider-Man 2 and that being the difference. I'm not real sure what's going on, but the bottom line is Monopoly Go, they spent $500 million marketing Monopoly Go. They've made $2 billion on the game, I believe, since 2023. So wow. I'm not currently playing this. I don't know if you are. I do know what some of my kids are. And so like, this is like the most sort of prolific game on phones right now, which is pretty insane.
I don't even know what the game is. Like, what is the game?
I don't either. Like, what do you know. Do? I've never played it. I don't know what the game is. I don't know how it works. I just know it's got Monopoly and you do stuff and like you sort of participate with other people somehow. And that's, I got no idea beyond that. So it's interesting at least, but I just thought it was like, that's a crazy amount of money to spend, but I mean, they've made an insane amount too. So,
and if it's a game, like they're not having to print game boards and stuff. So I guess.
No. Yeah.
It's probably a huge margin there.
Oh, huge. Absolutely. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Tech wreck. Time to get your tech wreck.
Tech wreck. Chicky.
Tech wreck. Time to get your tech wreck.
All right, Sanjay, it's tech wreck time. What do you have for us this week?
So I have been on the hunt for a USB hub for my desk here to connect all of the things because I am running out of space.
Yes.
So I got one and I thought it was the golden child. It was going to be great. I was going to recommend it. I had to return it because connecting the things that you and I have, which is like this Elgato teleprompter that we talked about previously and some of the other stuff, my displays would randomly just disappear and come back,
I'm having the same exact problem with the one that I bought. That's a totally different one than you bought. And I've got one of my displays is going away. But I thought it might be the HDMI cable. Maybe, I don't know. Okay, interesting.
I think it might be the USB. So I've now found one and I'm using it right now and all the things are plugged in and nothing has happened.
Okay.
I used it for a few days before this to make sure.
Okay.
But it's from RSH Tech. I don't know how you pronounce it, but it's the 7-port powered 3.2 USB-C hub.
All right.
And so this has a few things that I really like. First of all, it's 3.2 USB, so it's fast. I think it can do at least 10 gigabits per second back to the computer.
Nice.
It's got little, and this is actually a nicer feature than the other one that I use, but it's got little touch screen buttons where you can actually turn each USB port on and off. The previous one that I tried had physical buttons.
So these are
like little, it's very smooth and sleek, but it's got a little LED that lets you know that this device is turned on or not. And the only downside that I've got with this one is that it's only 7 ports. The other one that I was trying had a bazillion ports. I think it was like 10 or 12. But this is a 7-port hub and I think I should be able to get almost everything plugged in. I might end up having to get a second one of these, but It seems like it's stable. It seems like it works. And you know, I'm a fan. There are a few things now I've discovered that no USB hub does that I'm like, man, I wish USB hubs did this, but
yeah.
This seems to be the best one out there right now. I'm a little concerned because I don't know this company, RSH Tech. Yeah. I've never seen any of their other products. Like if it was Anchor, I'd be like done, all in. Or, you know, somebody like that who's quality and products I know. But so far so good. So if you're looking for more USB ports, give it a try and see what you think.
I might have to try that and I might have to return the one that I previously got. We'll see about that.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Well, what about you? What do you have for us this week?
So if you have a dog, I'm going to recommend the e-collar. It's e-collar.com. It's not cheap. I will warn you about that. But it's a humane way to train the dog. The e-collar does a lot of things. It gives the dog a little jolt. If you push a button and they sort of need some correction, doesn't hurt them. It just gets their attention. It also vibrates and dogs don't like things vibrating on them. So we use that vibrate feature a lot. It also has a light on it. So if your dog's like out in the yard at night and you're like, I can't see that dog. Where's the dog? You can like turn on the light and then like suddenly it's like blinking light on the collar and you can see the dog, which is great. And they have different ones. Like one has a half mile radius. One has a mile radius. Wow. So, I mean, if your dog runs off, you can get them back, get their attention. I use it actually pretty frequently with my dog that jumps the fence and goes running back to the river. And I'm like, I just yell for him and click the button and he comes running. So, it's a really good way to just, you know, train a dog, manage it, certainly a larger dog. It's kind of an easy way to do that. So
when you said light, the thing that I imagined was like this spotlight on the dog, like from the heavens. Like a UFO spotlight on the dog. Cause that's actually kind of what I would like. Little blinky light.
I think more importantly, I would like that for like my kids to surprise them, you know, like they get home at night, it's late. They get out of the car and I hit the button light and like, boom, there's a spotlight just on them. Like what's happening? Like, what's going on?
Uh-oh. You know?
So
I'm caught. Like that. I think what we need to do is create a drone that you can launch that's got infrared, so it knows where the object, the person, or the animal is, and then has a big bright. I mean, like an excessively bright LED spotlight.
Yeah, like that.
Brighter than the sun type of level that just boom, you know. And
I'll tell you, there are some insane lights that are going on like TikTok store and stuff now. Like people are all into like crazy high powered flashlights that are very small. So I'll make sure that's one of my upcoming tech rec because I do have one that's pretty amazing. So
oh really? I need one of those.
Oh, I got you covered. All right, Sanjay, how can our listeners find and connect with you?
They can find me at sanjayparekh.com, and if they go there, they can read the blog post that made everything kind of
I read that blog post
last weekend.
It was good. It was a good blog. It was good kind of getting some historical perspective. And I was like, that's why Sanjay is the way he is. Makes so much sense.
This explains so many things.
It really does. Yeah. Now I understand.
What about you, Adam? Where can we find you?
Just go to my website, adamjwalker.com. It's got links to all the places and where I'm, it doesn't show you where I'm hiding. So just all the places where I really Don't worry about the man behind the curtain.